on over the next 4 weeks, and I'm going to have to assume a few things because we don't have the time here to do all of that. For memory for next week, Matthew 11, 1 to 12. I hope, I pray that God will let me get there tonight, but we'll see once what we have time for, and He'll bless whatever we do, I'm sure. So let's leave that. There's the website where you can get the information. Follow the Rabbi, one word, followtherabbi.com. And if you need that information, you can get it there. Last time, we ended in the desert with the Essenes. And I challenged you, as my heart feels so challenged every time I go there, to be an Essene, small e. Not the same theology necessarily. Jesus disagreed with some of their teachings, and so did the disciples. But be an Essene in the commitment to the text. What I didn't get time to talk about is how the baptism of Jesus can... we can understand it even better if we put it in the context of how the Essenes understood ritual bathing. So let's go to the place where John was baptizing, and let's talk about something called Tikkun Olam. Here's the Jordan River, near where the Essenes were. Now, if I had time, we could dialogue a bit on this. Why do you suppose John was baptizing in the Jordan? Thank you. Moving water. It's living water. The Essenes insisted on living water. That's the logic for John doing that as well. Now, somebody might say, well, there just was water there, and I think that's true, but the Jordan River would have been living water. It's not a whole lot of river, to be honest, but it is a river nevertheless. That's about as big as it gets. John's baptism, I'd like to talk to you briefly tonight under the heading of Tikkun Olam. Say Tikkun Olam. You remember? Say Tikkun Olam. Thank you. Either that, I got to turn my thing up a little bit here. Tikkun Olam, all right? Last week I had you say that, and then you walked out of here and I never talked to you about it. I always feel really badly because people think, why did we say that word? We didn't even talk about it. Let's go there tonight. If we understand Jesus' baptism, it has all kinds of deep and rich theological meaning. I'm not here to tell you that this, what I'm going to tell you in any way, either exhausts it, certainly it doesn't, or contradicts what you've been taught. But I think there is a nuance to his baptism that's striking in light of how the Essenes thought. The Essenes, as did other Jews of the time, apparently looked at the creation story in Genesis like this. They said, back at the beginning, before the first day of creation, there was chaos. It was totally the opposite of God. Total chaos. Our English Bible says, now the earth was formless and empty. That's chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the chaos, over the waters. Now, to a Jew, one of the metaphors for chaos is churning water. Hence, the sea is the abyss. That's found in the Gospel of Luke as well as in the Old Testament. Churning, moving water to them represented lack of order, lack of structure, lack of organization. It represented chaos. So at the beginning, you had absolute and total chaos. Now, we won't go to where did that all come from. They believe it all comes from God. It's not they thought there was another creation. But the creation was in chaos. Fortunately, hovering over the chaos, and it's an interesting Hebrew word, hover, we translate it in English. I think NIV says moving on the surface of the waters or something like that. I don't remember the exact translation. But the word represents what a bird does as it comes to land. The Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos. And then they noted, the Spirit of God, and I've got to apologize because I see exactly what happened. I added several slides to my program and I forgot to change the format, so they're going to be on a background. It'll be hard to see. Just do the best, then we'll get to where it's good, okay? As the Spirit of God hovered, God spoke. One Jewish writer I came across said, the Spirit of God spoke. Well, from my point of view, there's no difference in that. And God said, let there be. And out of that chaos came order, beauty, light and darkness, plants and animals, a whole beautiful creation, all working together absolutely magnificently. You saw it today in the sunshine on the snow, I'm sure. Everything came together as God spoke to the chaos. And out of that chaos came order in what we call the creation. Then God turned over responsibility for His beautiful order, His beautiful creation, to our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and said, manage it for me. And they began to do that. They enjoyed the beauty. They were part of the order and the organization.